The Holy Gospel
according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, may be seated, and I think Nick has a children's sermon for us today.
Good morning.
Hope you all had a fantastic week.
Thank you for being here with me. Today, in the story of Jesus that Pastor Tim just read, kids, we have a mystery. And who better to help me solve this mystery than my good friend, Scooby-Doo. If you don't know what Scooby-Doo is, if you have a Netflix account or access to Netflix, all of his cartoons are on there. So, Scooby-Doo is a dog, and him and five friends, they go around solving mysteries. Usually in the cartoon show, there's no such thing as a ghost. There's no such thing as a monster. Somebody wanted to dress up and scare somebody off their land because they found oil on it and they wanted that land for cheap and they wanted all the oil. So that's the way Scooby-Doo usually wraps up his TV shows. There's no monster. There's no ghost. Somebody's just dressing up to scare people so they can get rich. Scooby is going to help me today because we actually have a ghost. Let me see if he can fit on my head. He can't. Okay, so put them on my shoulder. So we actually have a ghost that claims to be Jesus, and the disciples have forgotten, hey, Jesus was supposed to rise from the dead. So we have our clues that Jesus Christ himself gives the disciples. So number one, let me set the scene. The disciples are all in a room, again, like they were last week. They see a ghost. Who is this person? It's not Jesus. No, Jesus is in the tomb. He's far, far away. The Bible says all the disciples were startled and terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And this is clue number one that we know it is Jesus. Clue number one, Jesus looks at them and says, "Peace be with you." If you've read the Old Testament before, and kids, if you remember Old Testament stories, the first time any human sees an angel, the first words out of their mouth are, "Peace be with you." Jesus is echoing the angels of the Old Testament. Peace be with you. The second clue that we have, he says to them, "Why are you afraid of me? Why do you doubt in your hearts? Look at my hands and look at my feet." Kids, can you do me a favor and poke your hand, pinch it, rub it. Everybody else, what do you feel? Skin. And if you poke just a little bit harder, what else do you feel? Your bones. Next words out of Jesus' mouth. "See, it is me, myself. Touch me, see me. Does a ghost have flesh and bones?" And that's a good question. Does a ghost have flesh and bones? No, never seen a ghost. But Jesus, who has, says, "No, ghosts don't have flesh and bones, but I do, so I am me." And then he goes on to say, "Hey, do you have anything to eat? Do ghosts eat food? Do they eat sandwiches, brisket, barbecue, hamburgers with bacon jalapeno, cheddar poppers? Do they eat all that stuff? Do they eat fish? Do they drink water?" Probably not, because they're ghosts. And yet Jesus is here standing in front of them asking for fish. And then he continues on and he says, "Do you guys remember back when I was with you, I kept on saying that the Son of Man must go through suffering, I must die, and I must be resurrected. And just in a light bulb moment, our mystery is solved. Because the disciples all looked around at each other and said, oh yeah, that's right, it's written in the book of Moses. That's right, it's written in the book of Psalms. That's right, it's in the Proverbs. That's right, it's all the prophets talked about it. God would send us a helper, Jesus. The helper would come, perform great miracles, the healings, the crippled people getting up, the blind seeing, people who can't talk, now they can talk, people who were dead like Lazarus, now they're being raised up and have a second chance at life. Jesus did all that. He suffered on the cross. He died. And 3 days later, resurrected. Jesus says, do you remember all that? And the disciples have the, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Now we remember. So this case, Scooby, thank you for showing up here, but it's an open and shut case. Because Jesus, by his own words, has testified to himself that, hey, he's the real deal. Jesus is not some ghost haunting people, haunting churches all over the world. No, he's bone, he's flesh, he's hungry, he's thirsty. He's here to tell people the good news. And then Jesus ends this whole scene by saying this. It is written, the Messiah must suffer and raise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. So there's a little bit of a job that Jesus wants the disciples to do. He wants the disciples to go from Jerusalem to all the ends of the world so that the word of God can travel from Jerusalem across the sea to Europe, and then from Europe across the ocean to America. From the 13 colonies to the expansion when they went west to the big, great, glorious state of Texas, all the way down here to the entrance of South Texas, to a little town in Yorktown, Texas, where all these wonderful, beautiful people can be saved, all you can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and no, once you die, don't worry, because you will be resurrected just like our Lord. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do you eat? Maybe the most obvious answer is you're hungry. If we don't eat, we get hungry. We need food every day into our bodies. It helps supply the nutrition we need. It helps keep us healthy. If we're still young people, it helps us to grow and develop and mature. So we eat because we are hungry. Our bodies are telling us, it's time to eat. I want something to eat, so feed me. We also eat, maybe because, for the comfort of it. We enjoy eating. There's not too many people I know that don't enjoy eating and probably eating a little bit more than they need to. But we enjoy eating. We love the smell of food. I know, wake up in the morning and the smell of bacon cooking is just wonderful. Or smell the coffee, for those of you who like coffee. Or to smell brisket out on the barbecue pit. Or to smell a steak grilling on the grill. Just to smell those wonderful foods that are coming out makes you hungry, but it also then you know that you're going to get to eat. I know we have a wonderful cook for the daycare, and every day during the week, the whole building just smells wonderful. But I don't get to eat any of that. So to smell that makes us feel good. But to eat, to enjoy the food, the savory food that we get to eat, is wonderful. Or even when you're maybe stressed or depressed, a lot of times we'll go for the food. It makes us feel better. It comforts us. We eat food for a number of reasons. Another reason is because we enjoy the company. Think of a celebration that you get together with either family, with friends, with acquaintances, or even co-workers or whatever else. Think of a celebration that you get together and you don't have food. You probably can't think of too many occasions where that happens. Usually when people get together, there is food. There is food to eat because we enjoy eating with other people. We enjoy sitting down together with a family to eat supper, or we enjoy going to a birthday party and having food there, cake, ice cream, or even a meal, or going to potluck dinners and those kind of things, or going to a restaurant and eating with other people around. We enjoy getting together with other people. Our gospel lesson this morning is about two meals, about two suppers, actually, two different suppers. And they both take place on the same day. To understand this gospel lesson today, actually this gospel lesson is just a short piece or the second half of a little bit longer story. And so I want to refresh you or do a little background on what's going on before we get here to this gospel lesson that we read this morning. This gospel lesson actually takes place on that first Easter day. And we are looking at Luke's gospel. Each of the gospels vary a little bit on what happened on that first Easter day. But the main events stay the same. All right, so in Luke's gospel then, the women, several women, go to the tomb to anoint the body with spices and with oils. And when they get there, they notice that the big stone has already been rolled away. And as they go into the tomb, they notice it's empty, or at least Jesus is not there. But it's really not empty because they see two angels. And the angels say, "Why are you here? Jesus has risen from the dead." So the women turn around and they rush back to that gathering room in Jerusalem where all the disciples are meeting. In Luke's gospel, it says the 11 were there, plus other followers. At another place in Luke, it says when they were gathering there that there were as many as 120 followers that were also gathered in that upper room. So we got a big crowded room of Jesus' closest followers, not only his 11 disciples that were left, but also all those others. And the women go back and they report that Jesus has risen from the dead. They saw angels and Jesus has risen from the dead. The followers don't believe them. They think it's just idle talk from the women. And so, but yet, there's debate. And so they start to talk. Well, in the meantime, I guess two of those followers left Jerusalem because they needed to go to a town called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles away. And the only way to get there was to walk. So think about it. It's 7 miles from here to Nordheim. So walking that distance. And so as they're walking along, they're talking about these events that happened, talking about the women who went up to the grave and saw it empty, about the angels, about Jesus, and about his predictions that he would rise on the third day, and they're talking about these things. And a stranger meets up with them, and the stranger walks along beside them, and the stranger asks them, "What are y'all talking about? What's the debate going on here?" And so they start to tell him all the events about what's happening. And then the stranger turns it around on them and starts to tell them and starts to relate it to all the prophets, all the scriptures in the Old Testament, of this is really what was supposed to happen. And when they got to Emmaus, after walking that 7 miles, it was starting to get evening, it was supper time, and so those two disciples, one is actually named as Cleopas, but the other one was not named, so Cleopas and the other disciple then invite this stranger to come eat with us. The stranger's fascinating. He has a lot of good things to say, and maybe he wants to share that with whatever group of followers are meeting in Emmaus. And so this stranger comes, and he stays with them for supper. And it was during supper that Jesus, or this stranger, takes a loaf of bread, he blesses it, and he breaks it. And it says, in that moment, their eyes were opened, and they saw that this was no stranger, but this was actually Jesus. And he was risen from the dead. And he had opened their ears, opened their hearts, and opened their eyes as he was telling the stories. And he was relating of what happened and what God had done. So these two disciples, Cleopas and the other follower, What do? They eat their supper, but then they turn around, and this time they go back to Jerusalem. But this time they don't just walk, they run. They run that 7 miles then back to Jerusalem to tell the other followers, to tell the other disciples that Jesus is risen and that they had seen him. And so they get to Jerusalem, and that's where our gospel lesson for today picks up. And so everybody's in debate, wondering what can be true. Are these false rumors from the women? Are these false rumors from Cleopas and the other follower who had seen Jesus? Could it be true that Jesus has risen from the dead? And they were going back and forth and trying to debate and trying to figure all this out when Jesus appears. As Nicholas mentioned to us then too, the first thing Jesus says is, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side and his feet. And they're still not convinced. They're happy to see Jesus. They're happy to see this vision of Jesus. And they didn't know if it was a ghost or if it was Jesus risen from the dead, but they were still unbelieving. And so Jesus asked for some food. They have some fish from their supper, the second supper. And as Jesus ate this fish then, as Jesus had his supper, he also then started to tell the rest of them about how all these things had to happen according to Scripture, and that all these things were fulfilled. And he gives them that commission then to go and proclaim this good news. This morning, we also have a supper. We have the Lord's Supper today. We have Holy Communion today. And as in eating a meal, as in eating a supper, as eating a regular meal, there's many of those same reasons are reasons that we eat the Lord's Supper. For one thing, we are hungry. We are hungry for God. There is so much stuff that happens in our lives. So many tragic things, so many things that just irritate us, so many things that get in our way, so many things that we do that get in other people's way. We sin. We know we're guilty. Our life is not going the way it is. We need something better than ourselves. We need to look to God. We know there's a God. I think it's ingrained in everyone who has ever lived that there is a God. But people just simply don't know who God is or what this God is. And so they have a hunger. We have a hunger for God. If we don't have God in our lives, we are empty. If we don't have God in our lives, we will die. If you don't eat food, if you don't eat regular food, eventually your body will just simply waste away and you will be no more. If we don't consume this meal that Christ offers to us, this Holy Communion, we too, our spiritual lives, will just simply waste away. We will be no more. We have a hunger. Also, you eat a meal because of the comfort or because you enjoy that meal. You enjoy the food. Holy Communion is the same way then too. Within Holy Communion, there is a joy because we hear those words, "Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Our sins are forgiven. All those things that we have done are simply wiped out because that communion, because Christ offers us his body and his blood. Jesus went to the cross for our salvation. He gave up his body. He shed his blood for us. And in this Holy Communion, we actually consume Christ. We take Christ into ourselves. We take that cross and that resurrection into ourselves. We consume it. It becomes a part of us. It becomes a part of who we are. And that gives us joy, knowing that we are forgiven, that we are made whole, that we are filled by this meal that we eat, this Holy Communion. Also, too, we enjoy eating a meal with other people around, to visit, to find out what's going on in their lives. Same thing with Holy Communion then, too. Holy Communion is a meal for all of us. It is a meal for us gathered around that holy table. If you think about the name, Holy Communion, come in union. We are joined with Christ, but we are also joined with one another in the unity of one holy church. We are joined in unity in that body of Christ. We are the church. We come in unity. We come together in union. We share in that meal of Holy Communion. And we share in that joy of knowing that everybody else is in the same situation that we are. Everybody else is a sinner, just like I am a sinner. Everybody else is in need of that forgiveness and of that salvation and of that blessing and of that promise that we will receive eternal life. And so we come together as a family of God, as the body of Christ. We come in union. We come together to worship God and give Him thanks and to give Him praise. Something else to think about with this meal. What do you open when you eat? What do you open when you eat? You open your mouth, don't you? You got to put that food somewhere. It's going to go in the mouth. You open the mouth. In this story here from Luke, these two meals, it's not only the mouth that's being opened, though. In that first story, as the disciples had invited Jesus into their supper at Emmaus, when he broke the bread and blessed it and gave it to them, it says their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. As we take Holy Communion, our eyes are also open. We see that glory of God. We see that grace. We see that mercy. We see that humility that Jesus Christ suffered through. And then we see that glory of Jesus rising from the dead. Our eyes are open. In the second meal that we read here in this gospel lesson for today, it says that Jesus opened their minds. Opened their minds to the scriptures. As we hear the words of the institution, those words that are said during Holy Communion, this is my body and my blood shed for you. We hear that scripture. We hear that reading. We hear what God has done for us. And it opens our minds so that as we see and as our minds are opened as well then too, we receive faith. We receive faith. And we no longer bicker or argue or discuss like the disciples did. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is that really him? Or is it a ghost? Is it a figment of our imagination? Is it just idle talk? No. We have faith. Jesus truly did rise from the dead. He rose from the dead. Jesus also gives him one more thing in our gospel lesson for today. He says, I do this so that you can be my witnesses to spread that good news. So once again, not only are our mouths open to eat, not only are our eyes opened to see Jesus, not only are our minds opened up to hear those scriptures and to have faith, once again, our mouths are opened up, not to eat, but rather to speak, to proclaim that good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He has risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.